Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on our Twitters. And wouldn't you know it, ask a guest to show up on time. I guess you can't do that anymore these days, just like you can't ask anybody to show up on time. But there he is, Chris Marler. What's up, buddy?
28-time national champion, 6'4", 195 pounds, Chris Marler. 8-pack, 700 credit score, huge. That's me.
Hey, I know you're joking, but I'm not joking with this comment. Looks like you're down about 10 pounds since I seen you, buddy. You're looking
thanks,
good.
Dude. I am. I got a haircut.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Allie, we're live right now. Walk away.
Look, tell her not to crawl in the background.
No, I appreciate it. I got a haircut. It's really bad. It looks like Kim Jong-un a little bit. I don't love it.
Oh, perfect. It's a good look for you. But you know what else is a good look for you, Chris, before we get rolling?
What's that?
MyBookie. Come on. Presenting sponsor of the show this football season, MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Promo code SEC. They'll match your initial deposit up to 100%. So we're locked in with MyBookie. Chris, we're also, and I think we have hooked you up with these fine folks as well, Tennessee Legend Distillery. Big Hell fan yeah. of the Locked On Gamecocks podcast, which is where Chris is at. If they don't have Tennessee Legends at your package store, Chris, march your ass down there right now and tell them to get you some Tennessee Legends. I know you don't even live in Tennessee, but believe me, Louisiana would be better off if it had some more Tennessee Legends in it.
That's right. I like that. I like that a lot. Allie's not happy with my intro, so just so you know.
Why? I think you were doing great, buddy.
I thought I kind of nailed it. Oh, look, we got a whole bunch of people in the chat. How's the three shows a day going, brother?
So far, I'm pretty exhausted. This is just number two for today. Shane's on vacation, so that means I'm doing all of them. But so far, so good.
Love it.
How's everything with you?
Dude, we're having a blast down here. This has like been the best day. I woke up today, Pepper ate some stuff that I'm not going to get into because it's only going to be disgusting. And I had to get up at like 4:45 with her like throwing up everywhere. But I was like, man, today's going to be the worst. What a terrible way to start the day. And then Auburn claimed 9 national championships. And it's been the best day because Twitter has been hilarious all day long.
Right. So, yeah, we got to start with that. And shout out Michael Raleigh. He says, what team does Marler not cover? Does Auburn miss Harsin at this point in time? Well, did Harsin, how many national championships did Harsin win?
They're going to go back and claim one, brother. But they'll probably give it to Hugh. Just because they hate him that much.
Yeah. So anybody that missed it, this is, it's hard to know where Chris is like being honest or if he's trolling. This is real. Anybody that missed it, Auburn is claiming 4 additional national championships. 1910. I went and looked it up. They went 6-1, lost 9-0 to Texas. That sounds like a national champion to me. 1914, they went 8-0-1. Couldn't even go undefeated, you bastards. 1958, 9-0-1. LSU was 11-0, but no, Auburn's the national championship.
That one right there, because I looked this up today, LSU led the country in scoring with 442 points. So they were 10-0. They averaged 44 points a game back then. Mike, they gave up 11 points all year. And don't look at the teams they played, but they also did beat Auburn. That's my favorite part about all this is the teams they played. It's like, yeah, see, we're going down there playing the old YMCA boys and girls team. You're like, why? Like, what is going on?
And then even 2004. Again, I am the biggest SEC homer out there, right? I was in the attendance. Chris, I don't know if you remember this game. Tennessee, undefeated. Yeah. Auburn, undefeated. College game day. It was a Neyland Stadium. I mean, the site could not be better. Right. Auburn whooped their ass. It was like 31-0, something crazy like that. But even then, I mean, as I lived that season, and again, I saw this team in person. They looked damn good to me in the one game I saw them in person. I watched the whole season. But I don't remember anybody saying, well, you know what? You know, there was Southern Cal was undefeated, Oklahoma was undefeated, and they played in the real national championship, and I believe Southern Cal beat the shit out of Oklahoma. No one said, well, you know what, Auburn would have whooped their ass. I mean, where are we getting this from?
So this is the biggest revisionist history in all of sports, or at least college football. Also, I just want to respond to this real quick. Jesse Louise, I've never once claimed to be a journalist. Not once. Not once. I don't know if you missed the intro when I said I was 6'4", 195 pounds, and had a huge blank. Not once have I ever said that, tried to take myself seriously. So try to do the same thing. Here's the thing with 2004 Auburn, because I always say this. If we're going to talk about college football, we're going to do it with, like, some sense of, I don't know, truth to it. And, like, this is before the SEC started their run. This is before that any of that stuff happened. So it's like, this is not going into like a situation where it's like, oh, well, you know what? Like, it happened in 2011 or 2013, like, and some SEC team went undefeated and got left out. Like, that's not where the SEC was then. All you have to do is go back and look at the facts of that season, Mike, because in 2004, Auburn, I don't know what they started out as, but USC and Oklahoma started out 1-2. Neither one of them lost a game all year. Neither one of them. We were all amped up for that national championship game. There were three Heisman Trophy winners combined on those rosters. Oh, and by the way, and Adrian Peterson. In case you forgot what some of those teams were made of, USC had a top 10 offense and defense. That entire squad was like Coach O was the recruiting coordinator. Kiffin and Sark were on the offensive staff. And then you look at the strength of schedule, because that's what SEC fans love, including myself, love to argue. Auburn's strength of schedule was 55th in the country. USC's was 5th. Oklahoma's was 11th. What are we talking about? There was never any point of that year besides when Tommy Tuberville made rings that said people's champion, like a bad wrestler from 2004. He said, no, we were the people's champion. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. I mean, hell, let's give Central Florida national championship for that year. I mean, we're going to go down this damn rabbit hole if we're going to allow this. But you know what I will allow, Chris? I will allow the legend, JR, to get a shout out.
Legend. Oh, yeah. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted a membership to Cade L. Cade, welcome to the family. We appreciate you, JR. What a guy. Chris, it doesn't matter what time we run this show, morning, noon, middle of the night, JR shows up. He gives a membership.
I love it.
He's like, if we're just going to hand out mythical national championships, I'm giving one to JR because he's earned it.
I love what somebody said too, which was somebody needs to just go ahead and claim the future national championships. Like Texas, that's what's next. Also, I love the voice. There's like Coors Light, cold hard facts. That was pretty sick. How'd you do that?
Shout out JP. Again, a cousin. He does all the work for it. So we have producers. We got sponsors. We got all kinds of people here in the comments. All right. So I got a lot of things I wanted to hit you with. And I mean physically, like literally hit you. But I can't do that because we're not in the same location.
Yeah.
Who is more likely to coach in the SEC? Doesn't have to be a head coach. Could be as an assistant. More likely in the future, Coach O, John Gruden.
Oh, I think it's Gruden. I think that someone is going to end up hiring him. I really do. Because I think he's going to press one. I think he'll come away impressive in his meetings. And I think that he'll come in and be like, yeah, you know what? Someone's going to give him a shot if he actually wants to. I hope he does, just because I'm so tired of watching him open up those stupid fucking boxes on his YouTube channel where he's like, hey guys, I'm real, real happy about this one. Do you see this? Marshall University sent me a free sweatshirt. And you're like, buddy, you're rich. We get it. You don't need to go in and get more free stuff. I'm kind of with Evans here, or Evan Grimes here. I kind of think that Arkansas, I could see that if they do fire Pittman. I hope that Pittman gets a lifetime contract that is never fired. But the thing with Orgeron is, and I tell you what, being down here during all of this, or like not during it, but like in talking to some of the people around here, like, I always thought the Coach O thing, he deserved more credit at LSU because he went into that year. He's the one that went out and got Burrow, right?
Yeah.
Before the transfer portal thing was open, where people are going to try to put their names out there more, have agents. He's the one that went out and found Burrow. He's also the one that made the hires for their coordinators and brought in Joe Brady. I think Joe Brady might have got a little bit too much credit then. But, I mean, he had this – I was under the impression, I heard this story, where he showed up to a meeting and he had this 2.5-inch binder. And he was like, here's my entire plan. Here's what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. No one looked in the binder. Apparently, there was fucking nothing in the binder. But it looked good, optically speaking. And it's crazy, though, to see a team go to that height and then have that level of fall off afterwards. So I don't know if he will get asked to go back anywhere. Like, I don't think the places that are open, I can't see him taking Kentucky. I don't think Mississippi State's going to get rid of Levy yet. So I don't know where he would go. But I could see someone looking at Gruden and thinking that pedigree is like somebody they want to get behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, so I got to ask you too, of course, because you're a Locked On Cock over here. South Carolina, buddy.
Let's do it.
You do a hell of a job on the Locked On Gamecocks podcast. If you're not subscribed, I don't know what in the hell you're doing with your life. But thoughts on South Carolina, 7.5, over, under. Thoughts on the opener, big, I don't know how big time of them. It's a big time game. Sunday in Atlanta, Virginia Tech. What's your thoughts on the Gamecocks heading into the season?
I'm very high on them. I'm obviously kind of biased just because of trying to cover them. But part of the bias, I think, this year, because I feel like I try to do this as objectively as possible. But the frustration that I've had over this year, especially, is, man, like it's probably time to start having some more benefit of the doubt given to what Shane Beamer has done there. Because I hear all the stuff that they keep saying, like, oh, well, you know, how are they going to end up like being able to replace all these guys, especially defensively, and all the five guys that got drafted and all that kind of stuff. Like, well, not a lot of people were talking about those guys last year before the season anyway. So going into this year and having no name players, like, I'm not as concerned about that. I think the secondary is going to be really good. I don't think the offensive line can be worse than it was last year. They've given up 41 sacks each of the past two seasons. They had the lowest. Is that how you spell girth? they had the lowest like yards.
If you have to
contact,
ask. No, I'm sorry.
Yards to contact to get or like I guess like in rushing the ball and stuff like that. They obviously lost Rocket Sanders. There's a lot of pieces that I think are concerning, but I also think that you have Lenoris Sellers. We're talking about Auburn. I'm not comparing him to Cam Newton at all. Cam Newton had the greatest season, I think, in college football history. But you want to talk about a player that's able to take over games. You saw it last year against Missouri. You saw it the final game of the season, the regular season against Clemson. Like, there are things that he does on a football field that you cannot account for or plan for. And, like, dude, like, think about how good Clemson's defense is. Think about how good and talented that defense is. 3rd and 16, you couldn't find a way to keep him out of the end zone. Like, and he's a much better passer than people want to give him credit for. There's some things he's got to get better in, but I think they're going to be really good. I do think as we get closer, the Virginia Tech game worries me a little bit more, just because the best way that for teams to beat this South Carolina team, I think is going to be keeping Lenoris Sellers off the field. And Virginia Tech's a team that you look at last year, it's kind of like the inverse of LSU. They ran the ball on 58% of their plays. Like, you're going to see teams try to run the football right down their throat to try and make sure they can figure out ways to keep Lenoris Sellers on the sideline and attack, you know, a front seven that is going to be with six new starters.
What's your thoughts on the over-under 7.5? How confident are you that the Gamecocks will go over that?
I think the floor is 7. I think the floor is 7. So I'm taking the over, but there's a lot of games on here that are concerning. I will say that, like, the two that I think are losses, I think they lose to A&M and I think they lose to Clemson. I'm not ready to sit here and say they're going to win every other game, but I'm sorry, not A&M. I'm sorry. The two losses, LSU and A&M. But as we get to some of those things, you know, like, LSU is a team that struggled tremendously the past multiple seasons with running quarterbacks. I don't know if you guys have kept up with what Lenoris Sellers is able to do. You know, he fits that mold. They have struggled tremendously against A&M, especially on the road. But I don't think I think what's happening here at the end of their schedule is people are looking at this and they're having the assumption that every other single one of those teams is going to get better, and South Carolina's not. And that's where I think people are operating out of. And I think it's incorrect, because they were an underdog last year when they beat Clemson on the road, right? That team also had Cade Klubnik and a bunch of really good young receivers and a defense that was legit. Oklahoma's the one that confused me the most, because everyone's looking at that game like, oh, that's a loss. And they were boat raced out of Norman last year. And I don't really get the love that they're getting. All those teams that you listed, besides at the very end with Clemson, all those teams at the back half of the schedule are breaking in a new quarterback besides A&M and Clemson. South Carolina's not having to do that. John Mateer, he may be the second coming of Jesus Christ, as Oklahoma fans have told me. Maybe Ty Simpson is incredible, and Alabama doesn't have a single step back, and they're able to win all the games they're supposed to on their schedule, just like they did a year ago, right? And then Ole Miss, I'm not worried about going to Ole Miss and playing in front of 62,000 kids named Jace wearing Patagonia vests. I'm just not.
All right. How about, we all know you're a Bama boy at heart. What about Alabama? Are you seeing all this buzz? I think I started something, Chris. I said, Bama's winning the SEC. Now, all of a sudden, they're a popular pick to do it. They're a popular pick to possibly win the national championship. What do you think about the Tide?
I hate that you picked them because I know what you're doing and I don't like it. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be really good. But I think what's going on? I dropped Jesus. My mom's a pastor, bro. I got to get out of jail free card. Here's the deal with Bama. I think they're going to be good. I think Ty Simpson's going to be really good. I do not think that people are going to – are talking enough about Ryan Grubb and what he's been able to do and what he's been able to do, like together as a team. Like, we saw it in 2023. People love to sit here and talk about Kalen DeBoer like he's never won anything. Dude is 15-3 against ranked opponents. His biggest issue and concern, I think, if you're a Bama fan, is how does he make sure he wins the games he's supposed to win? Because wasn't supposed to beat Georgia last year, right? Probably wasn't supposed to beat Oregon twice. I think they did it 3 times in 2 years. But all the coaches that they consistently rank this man behind, Steve Sarkisian, Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart, Brian Kelly,
Josh Heupel.
I think he's like 7-0 against those guys. Like, it's like
not it Josh makes Heupel.
No sense to me. Yeah, not Heupel. No. But I think that going into this season, that this is a much more talented team than a year ago. And the most important thing is they got more depth, man. Like, last year, people didn't want to talk about this because they were so excited for them just to lose. But that secondary last year lost 12 players to the portal or graduation or NFL draft. Like, out of the 41 players they lost in the portal or the draft combined, or I think it was 41 in the portal alone. But 12 players in the secondary alone is an unreal amount of players to try and figure out any sort of stability back there. So you're super young and there's not a ton of quality depth. Now there's depth, and now you've got a lot more 5-stars. You got a lot more leadership. Defensive line might be one of the best in the country. The offensive line is supposed to be really good. I don't believe it because they keep saying it every year, but I think they're going to be good, man.
Is it fair to call DeBoer the anti-James Franklin, where he can win the big game, but he loses games he shouldn't?
That's not a bad comp. Like, I asked him this in the media days. I was like, It was a little bit odd to me that everyone, because like, he doesn't get enough credit for some of the good stuff, and he should. Like, going 15-3 against ranked opponents is the best record in the country, and he beat Kirby last year. He, like, again, he's 3-0 against Lanning. He's 2-0 against Sark. I think he's 2-0 against Sark. He beat Kirby last year. Like, you got to give him some credit, but it will never not amaze me that this team had everything in front of them last year. And they beat Georgia and they skyrocket to number one in the country. And then it's all of a sudden like, all right, yeah, now you got Vandy, you know, maybe take a week off. And you lose to Vandy for the first time in 40 years. Like, dude, I know you remember this, but the Tennessee game, Tennessee did everything they could to hand that game to Alabama, especially in the first half. Bama did nothing. Like they had, I think, 3 turnovers in the first half and still won that game. And then you look at the Oklahoma game where you're once again, everything's in front of you, and you not only go out and lose, but you get embarrassed. So that's a huge concern for me.
Mm-hmm. How about LSU? Man, Marler, Big J journalist, he's covering practice like one of these guys that went to Missouri and's got to tell us how smart he is. What's it like getting on the ground, getting to see this team that's got playoff aspirations? Got any inside info that you are willing to share with us?
Mike, when you go to practice there, there's a catwalk you have to record from. It's 3 stories tall. You said I look like I lost 10 pounds. Getting onto the top of this stupid fucking thing, every day I'm just just awful. I'm getting video. I'm like, you get video practice? I'm like, yeah, I got it. It's just me, just like a French fucking bulldog in the background the entire time trying to film Garrett Nussmeier and his compression sleeve. I think they're going to be really good. I think the offensive line is a question mark. My biggest thing with Nussmeier was he's really good. But the other part too is, man, he's good, but also he will go into situations where if he gets pressured, he turns into a really, 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 oh my God, gets into a really, really bad turnover prone. A very turnover prone situation, right? Like you saw it against A&M last year, the picture even of him, like hands on his head, like what the just happened. Saw it against Bama at times. So that was an offensive line that gave up maybe the fewest sacks that they've had in like program history almost. Like it was, I think 15 total, half of them against Florida. That's all gone. Like they are most likely going to start five new starters across the offensive line. I say all that to also say the defense is much improved. The secondary is going to be much better. They're in year two of each coordinator. And I think each coordinator is going to have a significant step forward in their scheme. They're also healthy. Like they're healthy. I know the Nussmeier thing scared people, but like Harold Perkins is healthy again. Like, you know, I think it's Gilroy, the number 90, the defensive tackle. He was out for most of last year with an Achilles.
Right.
And you got more depth everywhere on this team. And I swear to God, Mike, you can draw three names out of a hat at the receiver position, and whichever three go out there, they are going to give secondaries fits all season long. Like they are very, very, very good.
How concerned are you though about the opener at Clemson?
Oh, that's a loss. Here's the deal. I think Clemson's the best team in the country going into the season. I think on paper they're like, I hate saying that as like a South Carolina.
All right, we got to go, Chris. See ya. You can't have his Clemson nonsense on this show.
They're so here's what I think about them. I don't think they're going to win the national championship. I do think they're going to have a situation where it's like they are on paper defensively the best defense maybe in the country going into the season, and they don't have to play anybody. Like, you know, like they are Penn State of the South. Like they don't have to, like, not until like, you know, October, November. They're going to play LSU at home, which is, I think that's a very, very big benefit for them. But they don't even have like Georgia Tech on that schedule. They like going to Florida State's not as difficult. Like there's just not a ton of teams until you get to the very end that are going to be super difficult. So I think when we look up at the end of the season, if they have less than 11 wins, I'd be shocked, because I think they can go 11-0 into Columbia.
Mm.
Texas also does have a good defense. You're right about that.
Yeah. Shout out Wesley Williams. $10. I love when Marler comes on the show. Always great content. Go Vols. Joey Aguilar will have a better season than Nico. I am a leaving. Perfect segue, because I wanted to ask you about Tennessee next.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Tennessee heading into the season?
Not much.
Oh, you son of a.
No, I keep going back to this. I should have sent you the graphic. I should have sent you the graphic at for what do you call it? The best of the quarterbacks in year one under Heupel.
You're right.
Before we came on here. I think I retweeted it yesterday, but I don't love how young they are. Right. I'm not Hugh Freeze, so I don't love that. Like it's like 49% of this roster is a freshman or a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying to me. I'm hoping the receivers take a step forward. Former Parkview High School great Mike Matthews. I hope he's better. Obviously, the kid from Tulane that got into a little bit of trouble this preseason, I think he'll be better. But the idea that this team was going to drop off because of Nico is so stupid. It's just so stupid. Like you can watch, just put the film on and watch at any point. Like, it wasn't like this guy was hitting people in stride ever. It wasn't like he was connecting on those. And the thing about this offense with Heupel is it has to be something where, yeah, there it is. It has to be a situation. This is great. It has to be a situation where you don't have to be the most accurate. You have to be accurate deep. And they're also going to try to establish the run. So losing Samson, I think, is a much bigger deal than losing Nico. And I just think you look at the numbers right here, like this is crazy to me. And the people were talking about how, like, oh my God, like what are they going to do? And they dropped out everyone's national title contention. The schedule's still pretty simple. I don't love how it starts because they got to play Georgia and Syracuse like in two of their first three games. But I think Tennessee's going to be fine, man.
Do you like them to go over or under 8.5?
I like them to win 8 games.
Okay, so that'd be under.
So, I think Georgia's a loss, Bama's a loss.
Mm-hmm. So the 10-2.
Syracuse is tricky. No, I mean, honestly, I could see them winning 10 games again, if we're being honest. I'm not saying they will. I think that what's most likely for Tennessee is they win 9 games. And it's a situation that we see in the SEC all the time where it's like, saw with Bama last year, where it's like, yeah, they're going to lose to Georgia and they're going to lose to Bama. Okay, so then the rest of the schedule sets up pretty well. But then... Yeah, I wasn't saying you didn't have running backs. I was just saying that's a bigger concern. It was not an insult. But the other thing is, like, do they figure out a way to go unscathed the rest of the way? Because, like, dude, Florida, they've only won in the Swamp twice since 1972. So are they able to figure out a way to beat Kentucky, Oklahoma, Florida, and Vandy, and Arkansas? Games they should be favored in all of them. But we've seen it time and time again when you run the gauntlet in the SEC. Somebody slips up in a game they probably shouldn't.
All right, so it's pretty comical. You said under 8.5, but you like to win 9 games. So
yeah, that's good math, brother. Learn it.
How about the Yankees?
I like them to win the 1938 National Championship again.
How about Texas 8-4? Where are you at with them?
Mike, of all the things that I hate about myself, the fact that I can't figure out how to spell Cincinnati at 39, mm-hmm. that one's up there for sure. My sweet tooth, that's a tough one. But the fact that I'm buying into A&M this year just tops the chart, man. It is, I don't love it. I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, they're going to be better. Teams make the biggest leap from year one to year two under a new head coach. And I think Elko's been really good. I think he's going to be really good. Where are the losses going to come? I don't think they lose a single game at home all season, including the South Carolina game. That Missouri game is trickier, but they get an off week beforehand. I think they lose to LSU. I think they lose to Texas. And they probably lose another one in there. I'm taking the over for sure because I cannot see them going under 8 wins. That's what they do every year, right? 8-4. But if they beat Notre Dame, like, there's a serious, serious case that they're going to somehow compete for a let go like Elko. that dude is built like fucking Grimace, dude. I cannot do that. Yeah, man, I hate it. I hate it, but I do think they're going to be much better. I think they did a good job in the portal. And then their identity, I think there's a lot of teams going into this season that don't understand their identity, and I think A&M does. And that's what's most concerning. Like, you know, if they go 8-4, we got to dig up Kyle Field because it's like an Indian burial ground at this point.
Do you think it's fair to say that LSU game at LSU October 25th, the winner of that will make the playoff and the loser won't?
Ooh, I don't think it's fair necessarily, only because both teams have a really difficult road out of conference game. I think you're not wrong. I think that whoever wins that game is going to kind of move to the top of that list of, like, you know, of contenders for going into the month of November. But yeah, man, because I look at both schedules and I'm like, I think A&M's got an easier road in the month of November, just because they get South Carolina at home. It's not as difficult to go to Mizzou. Also, Texas on the road is very difficult, but, like, LSU does have Bama and they have Oklahoma, I believe, and I think they had somebody else in the month of November. But I think that I wouldn't count them out. Now, if both of those teams have somehow won their road games, then yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you hate Mizzou, so I'm going to ask you about them real quick.
What?
I'm just going off what their fans have told me. Their fans tell me you hate them. Yeah. You were just trashing them. All these home games, very manageable schedule. What do you make of the Tigers? Do you think would you lean over under 7.5?
Who the fuck is that in the top left? Is that a real logo or is that like something from like Legends of the Hidden Temple? Like the
Barney. That's the Central Arkansas Barneys.
Hate it. Hate it. no, go back real quick. I think this the disrespect that Missouri is getting this offseason is so stupid because they played their first 6 games at home. I don't think that they're going to – yes, I am. I think they should 1,000% be ranked. I think it's so stupid they're not, because here's what's going to happen, Mike. The Kansas game – I don't know why I'm pointing at the screen when I'm not even on the screen. And also, it's stupid because you can't see me. But the Kansas game, one, massive, massive, massive underrated massively underrated rivalry. Those two teams hate each other. Okay. I think that when you look at that game, like when they win that game, they're going to be ranked. So why are we not ranking them now? Back-to-back 10-win seasons. If you want to look at a blatant disrespect for a team, I think it was Maggie Johnson looked this stat up, or somebody else, and maybe she was just regurgitating it. But like they are the first, they're one of 4 teams in the last 10 years that won back-to-back 10-win seasons and then started out the next year unranked. They're the first SEC team to do that in 40 years. It hasn't happened since 1984. Like, that is, I don't know what else Eli Drinkwitz has to do. And the thing that people don't want to give him credit for, besides his illustrious career and beautiful hair, is him going into this season. Oh, he's got to replace a running back. Okay, cool. You and I talk about this at media days. How many elite running backs in terms of like that led the conference in rushing yards has Missouri had over the past several years? Tyler Beatty, Schroeder, wasn't that his name? Schrader. And then Roundtree. Those guys were all like in the top four. That's under his helm. And then you talk about the fact that they're bringing in a kid from Louisiana Monroe that had 1,400 yards last year. Offensive line should be better. They were one of the best teams in the portal. They got a former five-star from Georgia on the edge. Like, they got better at positions of need, like, all over the field. And then, on top of that, you're talking about, like, they also brought in at receiver to replace, what's his name? They brought in the
Kevin Coleman?
Yeah, they brought in Kevin Coleman from Mississippi State, who's the returning leading receiver in the SEC for receptions and yards. So, like, the fact that we are looking at them and thinking, oh, well, they're just going to be bad because it's Mizzou, it is the most, like, victim of their own logo situation I think I've ever seen in the SEC. And it makes no sense to me, because even if the quarterback's bad, I'm not saying you're going to replace Brady Cook as a three-year starter from a leadership standpoint, but from a production standpoint, dude had 12 touchdowns last year because he was injured for most of the year. Like, I think that production probably goes up.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it sounds like you like the under for Missouri. All right, how about Oklahoma? Are you betting on Mateer?
I'm not. Oh, I don't get it.
You're his bookie?
I just don't get it. Maybe Mateer is awesome. Maybe Mateer is awesome. But that's so good. Mateer is, maybe he's awesome. And he has all the skills to be that. But I will also look at this team and I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, they lost 37 players. I tell you what, I'm going to keep using this example until somebody slaps in the face, and it'll probably happen at some point, given my track record. But the team on October 18th, there's no team that is more, that is like disrespected, I feel like, less, or disrespected more than South Carolina in comparison to Oklahoma. And you look at it, it's like, maybe Mateer is going to be the second coming of Jesus, like I said earlier. But last time I checked, Jackson Arnold was also a guy that was a top 10, unanimous top 10 recruit nationally, former five-star. And there's a reason why you were okay with Dylan Gabriel walking out the door, because you had that guy. And I know that there were horrible, horrible injuries, a rash of injuries like we've never seen before at the receiver position, and offensive line was banged up for most of the year. I mean, you had accountants going out there for at receiver. Your top five guys all gone. But your offensive line, even though it was banged up, worse in the country in terms of sacks. You got 50 sacks. To put that in perspective, you've never given up more than 32 in the last 9 years before you came in the SEC. You give up 50 in year one. So that, having to replace that, you lost 37 guys in the portal. You brought in 21. Did they have a top 10 class? No, it was 17th. Like, for recruiting, like, I don't see where we're making the jump just because of Mateer. Like, even if he's like incredible, you look at that schedule and I'm like, I don't see how they get over 9 wins. Maybe I'm totally wrong and I'm a moron. It's happened before, but I don't see him beating Texas. I don't see him beating South Carolina. Tennessee and Bama both on the road. LSU, Ole Miss at home, Auburn at home. Like, I don't know where we're making leaps to them being a top 10 team or a playoff contender. Maybe the over hits, but there's so many potholes on that schedule, man. Like, it's a very, very difficult road.
If they disappoint, does Brent Venables come back? And when I say disappoint, I'm saying maybe like 6-6 again.
I don't know. I don't know. You have to ask Oklahoma or die. He seemed very upset about what I said. and you're right. Yeah, they did. They did beat Alabama last year. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it to you. I know they also lost to Navy in the bowl game. I know they also put up 3 points against Texas in Dallas. Right? Like, that's awesome. They beat Bama. And I tell you what, if you want to hang your hat on beating Bama, go ahead and take the fucking route that A&M did in 2021 when Zach Calzada did it. Go ahead and give your coach an extension, finish the year with a shit record, and then see what you're going to do if you want to double down on the coach that beat Alabama. If you want to hang your hat on that, that sounds great. It worked for Texas A&M. If you guys want to be the Texas A&M of a state just a little further north, sounds good to me.
Yeah, and I know you just recently moved out of dog country, so you can finally give us your real opinion about Kirby.
Maybe I overreacted. Maybe that guy wasn't being a dick. Maybe I was.
I appreciate the dickness of you, Marler. What's your thoughts on Georgia now that you've escaped that state? You can tell us how you really feel.
Now I feel like a dick. I'm sorry. I think he was just saying, I think he was like, yeah, man, how'd that happen? And then I overreacted completely. Sorry to you, sir. Georgia, there's not a team I'm higher on than Georgia. Here's the deal, man. If you want to sit here and tell me that, oh, you know what? They had this massive, look at the drop off, Mike. Look at the drop off, man.
They may never recover.
Are you fist fucking kidding me? Probably can't say that.
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
But three losses last year. I mean, the drop off is so bad. All they did was win the SEC championship. Ollie, fuck off, Ollie. Anyway, the idea that Georgia is going to fall off the face of the earth because they lost whoever these players are. This is great. The idea that they're going to fall off the face of the earth because they brought they have Kirby coming back and they lost all these guys in the NFL. And they don't have it. Who's the quarterback going to be? I'll start there. Who's the quarterback going to be? I don't know. I bet it's not somebody that's going to go throw three interceptions against Bama, against Florida, against Ole Miss, or against Texas. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure he had a combined 11 of his 12 interceptions in those four games last year. So I bet he doesn't do that. Who's going to play receiver? They lost some people at receiver. I don't know. I bet the guys they brought in, Zachariah Branch and Noah Thomas, at the very least, they probably don't go out and figure out how to have 36 drops, the most in the country. The offensive line, I would assume it gets better. You get both coordinators back, which one of those is probably a good thing. They could have 10 more arrests for sure. But I think that going into this year, it's so much nap time. How did I spell my name wrong when it's on the fucking screen, by the way? I think that going into the season, if you're telling me that Kirby Smart gets to go into a year with a chip on his shoulder, I'm already all in. If you're telling me that he gets a gritty, homegrown, local quarterback that is already balding like Brock Bowers and driving a truck like Stetson Bennett in the year he was born, I'm taking that too. But then on top of all of those things, love you more, on top of all those things, when you're talking about going into a season where it's like, well, you know, like, I mean, they had such a huge drop off last year. They won the fucking SEC. Like, they beat Texas twice, once with a backup quarterback, and everyone just seems to have men in black, like, oh, you know, like, just I forgot that entire history of it. I think the thing that I keep looking at too from a schedule standpoint is you had Kirby Smart last year, and I'm so fucking glad he called out what's his name. Sankey in the SEC championship, where he was like, he sent us on the road all year long, which was an iconic moment. But the idea that he comes in, he's like, we had six games in the first 13, we're against top 20 opponents. Okay. Yes, that is very true. Not allowed to cuss on Locked On. But he comes into this season. He comes into the season, and he doesn't have the six top 20 opponents in his first 13 games, with five of those being away from home, right? He doesn't have Clemson on the schedule. Doesn't have to go on a road trip to Texas, road trip to Bama, road trip to Ole Miss. The only game he got to play against top 20 opponents last year at home was against Tennessee, and he dog walks him like he always does. And so now
barely beat him. They were down 10-0 in the first quarter.
Tennessee has scored first in five straight years in that rivalry. It blows my mind. And that's like, but I look at the games now and I'm like, okay, well, you have Tennessee on the road early. That's good. You have Tennessee on the road early. And then I'm not that fat. Fuck off. I think that you win that game because you continuously have beaten Tennessee. And for whatever reason, even though the rest of the conference hasn't figured out, he has figured out how to beat that offense. But you get Texas at home, Ole Miss at home, and Bama at home, and that Texas and Bama one at home, especially with like how starving this fan base is to have big games in Sanford Stadium. By the way, Mike, they got one fucking loss there in 8 years, one loss to South Carolina in double overtime in 2019. So the idea that Georgia has fallen off, and I said this last night on our Fourth and Wrong podcast, the idea that they have fallen off, and I see guys like Ari Wassman are like, man, you know, I was thinking about this as we get close to the season. Have we been kind of sleeping on Georgia? It's like, yeah, you fucking idiot. Of course you have. Like, you had the entire offseason to look up what they had, and you're like, no, 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 no. let's do all these other stories first. I think it's going to be a great season for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about Ole Miss? Because I think this could go one of two ways, Chris. Again, what Lane Kiffin has built in Oxford is very impressive. But I think if they disappoint this year, which is kind of where I'm leaning that they will, people are going to say, how in the hell, with 20 guys that made NFL rosters, did we miss the college football playoff? That's a little bit, I'm concerned that we're going to go in that direction. Where are you at with Ole Miss?
I don't feel good about Ole Miss because, like, they not just because they can't win the big games, but like the schedule is manageable for sure. There's only one time they have to play back-to-back road games. That's great. I mean, they play five of their. There's no one that has an easier non-conference schedule than them, right? Like, they've done a they've done a great job with that. I just think that. When you talk about this team specifically and what they have to replace, I'm not worried about Austin Simmons. I bring this set up all the time. I think Austin Simmons is going to be fine. Like he's a guy that is playing in a system where for 8 of 11 years, dating back to when he was a coordinator at Bama, your quarterback in that system had at least 3,000 yards and or 30 touchdown passes. He turned Jake Coker into a 30-yard touchdown quarterback. He turned Blake Sims into one of the best seasons that any Alabama quarterback had ever had in 2014. Like, and then you keep seeing what he did with Dart and you saw what he did with Corral. Like, I mean, the consistency he's had there has been great. And if they don't have it there, you saw him a couple years at FAU, he ended up having a running back that put up like 2,800 yards or something stupid, right? Like, and it wasn't that much, but you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that he's got the talent to and the ability from like a dialing it up X's and O's standpoint, go win games. I just am not sold on the fact that this team is going to be able to get through that season and get to 10 games. Because with the schedule they have, they're going to have to win 10 games to get into the playoff. And I don't think they're able to do that. I don't think they go on the road and beat Georgia. You know, they struggled with Mississippi State last year, right, at home. And that's a game where I see it. They have a bye. You're playing it, like, on that weird Friday thing, which is kind of stupid. But I look at that schedule and I think Florida, South Carolina, LSU, I throw Arkansas in there. I think you lose two of those games at least.
Hey, Spartan says, but I don't know if you'll get this reference. He says, you are the love child of Shane and Steven Lassen. We have him on every week. He has Shane's appearance and Steven's random football knowledge.
Thanks, man. That means a lot.
That's the ultimate compliment. Shane
are built exactly the same.
No, you're not. I think he means your humor is what he was trying to pinpoint there.
Emotionally built the same. That's also not true.
All right. Final team I wanted to hit you with. Are you concerned yet about Florida? DJ? I mean, I've been hyping him up all off season. I thought this was going to be the breakout year. I love DJ Lagway, but I mean, my God, he's still not a full participant. And I mean, we are literally days away from the season.
Here's the thing. I think they're going to be good. And I love Lagway. I love Lagway.
Oh, okay? I forgot you hate him. That's right.
I do not hate him at all. I love Lagway. The thing that concerns me about Lagway is I think he can go out and have the best year any Florida quarterback's ever had. Right. And I don't know if what he has around him, right. It's Pelly Furtado. It's also my Peloton handle that I don't ride. I think that with what he has around him or lack thereof in comparison to some of these other teams, like that schedule is brutal, dude. So even if he goes out and dominates and has a phenomenal year, I don't see him go. I don't see them getting over 9 wins. Like, dude, look at the games 3 through 6.
So LSU, that's at LSU, at Miami, Texas at home, at Texas A&M.
You get a week off between Miami and Texas, but LSU and Miami are both on the road. Miami's not a difficult road environment, but they're going to be a good team, and they're going to have Carson Beck out there, right? Like, I think they're going to have, like, talent on that team, and they destroyed you last year. Then you talk about getting Texas at home. Then you got to go to A&M. I don't know why they have to go to A&M all the time, by the way. Georgia, I think that's obviously a loss. I think LSU on the road is a loss. I think that the Ole Miss game, especially with it being he's a classy product. I think that like they could close well, but again, I mean, I look at the schedule and especially those first 6 games, like, I mean, South Florida has given some teams fits, man. But I think that like, I look at those games and I think, man, how do they win? If they win one of those four from LSU to A&M, I think that's a success. I don't know if they'll do it. I am pulling for Billy Napier. I am pulling for DJ Lagway. I want them to succeed because I think DJ Lagway is the most likable player in all of college football. I think the way he carries himself, the way like his commitment to this team, his commitment to Billy Napier, I think he's the most likable player in college football. I think that Napier is a guy that should have won the Coach of the Year award last year after we talked about his record and how he should be fired if he does badly in 2024. We were talking about that in the summer of 2023. Mm-hmm. So what he was able to do last year going 8-5 is incredible. And I think that they are, by the way, Mike, this isn't even really hooked up. So just so you know, but like, I look at what he's been able to do and like in a short time, I want to see him go another year. I also think the Lagway injury stuff is so blown out of proportion because people are like, oh my God, he's injury prone. It's like, oh, he had a shoulder injury in high school and a calf strain. Like those are not similar injuries. Okay. So I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to go in and have some wins. I just don't think it's enough talent to get to 9 or compete for a playoff spot, which is what a lot of people are kind of putting them at right now. And I think that's a fool's gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of fool's gold, I wanted to ask you about a couple week one games real quick. Auburn-Baylor. Is Auburn fool's gold? What's your read on this game and how it could define the season for
your 2025 national champions, Auburn Tigers. Your 2024 national champion, Auburn Tigers. I love Auburn going into this season so much, dude. I think.
But you kind of have to say that, right?
She's not in here. Okay. Yeah. So the guy that keeps making the gay jokes. So I'm engaged to a woman. She's an Auburn grad. Used to
allegedly
rivals. You probably follow her on Twitter. She's great. Give it up for Allie Davidson. She's the best. But no, man, I think that I thought last year they were going to have the biggest turnaround year to year from like a receiving standpoint. I think they have one of the best receiving rooms in the country. I think it's top three, right? I think the defense will always be the defense. They've got two stars on defense too. Like they've got Kendrick Falk is you look at his numbers, even in comparison to Dylan Stewart, it is some of the best numbers we've seen at that position coming back in the SEC. Then yeah, the there's a lot of red flags, brother. Trust me, a lot of red flags to dive into. But also I think that like Jackson Arnold, if Hugh can just get out of his way, I just am not sold on a guy that it's like, oh, well, he must be terrible because it's a guy that's been in like 3 to 4 different offenses already at this point. And his OC was fired mid-year last year. So he had two guys calling plays for him, even at Oklahoma. Like I think he is a player that it would be very, very surprising if everyone missed on him as a recruit out of high school. And there's nobody in the country that's going into a situation with a bigger upgrade in talent. And this is not a shot at Oklahoma. This is just the fact that no one's going to a bigger upgrade of talent from the injuries that receiver room had in Norman to what he has with Cam Coleman, even Perry Thompson, the kid from Georgia Tech, X Singleton, all those guys, Malcolm Simmons, like all those guys playing in that room in Auburn. That's a huge upgrade. The offensive line should be the best they've had. That's like in probably 10 to 15 years, which isn't saying much, but it's like they should be better. And I think if Hugh can just get out of his own way, there's a real they're going to destroy Baylor, in my opinion. But there's also a real shot when you look at what they have coming back that they're going to go into that Georgia game with one loss. And they could – or they could also be 2-3 leaving the month of September. But I think it's closer to the one loss team.
Okay. And then I haven't asked you much about Texas. Huge game, obviously. Game of the week one. Texas at Ohio State, number one versus number three. How weird is it that number one is an underdog? Are you buying the Arch Manning hype?
Hold on. This guy is being a dick. Go to Oklahoma or Die and click on his comment. If you're
stuck on this one here.
Okay. How is it an upgrade? Because all five of your receivers were out for almost the entire fucking year. And now you're going into Cam Coleman, who might be one of the best. Eric Singleton might be one of the best receivers, and they're healthy. So the biggest upgrade I think they have is those guys are going to play football games for Jackson Arnold's team this year. They're going to blow the whistle, and they're going to be like, hey, guys, time to come out here. Offense on the field. Come on, guys. Those guys are going to trot it out on the field. That is something Oklahoma didn't have a year ago. Back to Texas.
Wait, I hate Texas. He's arguing that Oklahoma's got better talent around the quarterback than Auburn?
They beat him. I don't.
Yeah. That's Oklahoma or dies. Doesn't really understand
this
football.
This Bruno Baggins guy is so upset. I don't know. Just so you know, the only time I've ever interacted with is on here. And I don't know who you are. So
I know who it is. It's T. Bob Hebert.
Is it really?
No, but he's always on his show. So I think it might be his burner. But all right, Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio State. What thoughts on that? And Arch Manning hype.
It's gonna be interesting because I think Ohio State is like. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Are they the least talked about like national champion year to year that we've ever seen?
Ohio State?
Yeah, it's like we just
no Auburn.
They've
won all these national championships.
I think Ohio State goes in this year. They get Texas at home. I think Julian Sain was like one of the highest ranked quarterbacks that Saban ever signed when he went to Bama. I think.
Can I tell you the story? I think I've told it to you many times before, but this needs to be repeated because if Julian Sain whoops Arch Manning's ass, the narrative is going to be like, oh shit, Ohio State's got the quarterback, not Texas.
Right.
Have you heard the story of Kalen DeBoer when he got to campus? What happened?
No. Oh, he didn't even talk to him. He didn't know his name or something?
Yeah, he didn't know his name. He didn't know how to spell his name, apparently. He was in the meeting with Julian Sain and his family, and they said, all right, nice meeting you. Let's get the fuck out of here. and he jumped right in the portal, went right to Ohio State.
As he should have, man. It's a good move. Dude, I'm not going to be mad about that. I think that they're going to be very good. I think that Texas can be really good. I think it's going to be interesting because I'm a massive believer in Sark's offense. I think Sark is a really, really good play caller. And listen, you've seen what he can do with elite talent. You saw what he did with Bama's the OC with two.
I think he was the 10th best OC that year.
That was ninth, and I will never fucking let you live that down. But I think that going into this season – you did lose a lot of talent at the skill positions. You lost, the tight end they lost was one of the most productive players in the country at that position. You lost a bunch on the offensive line, including a top 10 pick in Kelvin Banks, who's now down here in New Orleans. I say all that, and then I look at the other.
I told you it was T-Bob.
huge, all four of them. So when I look at this team, I'm like, I have some concerns about what they're going to be able to do when it comes to some of the offense and some of the people they have to replace. Here's the thing, Mike, dude, if you could score 14 points, they might not lose a game because that defense is so fucking good that they might not have to score more than 14 or if they might not allow more than 14 in any game they play all year. So I think that Texas, the back seven is the best in the country from linebackers and corners and safeties, like the secondary and like I said, back seven. I think they're going to be very, very good. But I'm not completely sold on Arch because I just need to see him actually do this on the field. And until they dethrone Georgia, I'm not going to sit here and crown them SEC champs. I will say my biggest question for Texas, and I think we all feel like we know the answer. My biggest question for Texas going into this year is, are they able to figure out a way to avoid what we see in the SEC, and it kind of brings it back full circle to the first thing we talked about, whoever that was, which is, can you avoid the loss of the games that you should not lose? Like, Kentucky should not be a game they lose. They got to go to Lexington. But we saw what Kentucky did last year to Ole Miss, even though that was a home game for them. Like, how do you deal with, like, the cowbells in Starkville and that type of offense? How do you deal with the going to the swamp and all that kind of stuff? Like, the schedule is easy for them to go through, I think, and win like enough games to be in the playoff, especially the way it closes with three out of those four at home. But I don't think they beat Georgia. I wonder if Oklahoma's better than they were a season ago. And then the biggest thing for me is, man, like, they're going to be a double-digit favorite in a lot of these games. Are they going to be able to go unscathed in all of them? And people forget, man, they almost lost to Vandy last year.
Any concern that they were not able to run the ball? Against, of course, you know.
Their own defense?
Well, no, against Georgia and Ohio State. But, again, how many teams were able to run the ball against him? But, you know, the standard is the standard. as Kirby right. likes to say. And I don't want to say they got exposed, in the, but that's why they lost those games. They couldn't run the football. And now that they're replacing four of on the offensive line, any concern there?
I mean, you've got talent there, but you got talent everywhere. So it's like it feels like it's almost like unfair to be like, oh yeah, well, like, you know, it's not a concern, because it's obviously a concern. You want to be balanced in the offense. But I just think that this is a situation where they're gonna have enough talent to be able, love you more, MIZZOU, FKU. I think that they have enough talent that they can still get through that schedule unscathed, like with ease, to be honest. I don't think there's enough out there for them to go under 9 games. Again, my biggest question is, like, is this the year that we see them do what we've seen over and over and over again, especially even with national championship teams, losing the game you shouldn't lose? Like, is it like a week after they play somebody, they get a big win, then all of a sudden you get a loss or something like that?
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other thoughts before we wrap this one up, buddy?
No, I got to post like 8 things before my boss kills me.
Okay. Well, hey, before you go, can you plug all the hard work you're doing where everybody can check out your content?
Yeah, brother. I appreciate you having me on. It's always a blast. So Locked On Gamecocks, it's a lot of fun. We do it almost every single day. You know me. It's almost every single day. And then we have the Fourth and Wrong Pod. Obviously, Fern_Funquist at Twitter. Come yell at me on there. And then tomorrow, I just found out, I will be on Feinbaum at 3:30 p.m. Central talking about LSU Clemson.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. All right.
I'll lose 40 pounds for them.
Go check him out. Thank you for all this. This was fantastic. And check out Marler. Cannot recommend him enough. Again, we'll be back tomorrow, normal time. And then we got another show on Thursday, it kind of in the middle of the day. But that's going to do it. Really appreciate you, buddy. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
Sounds good, brother.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.